Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Yay! That's right. Today's ENN, of course, is brought to you by my friends at DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood.
What did you order on Friday? You said you were going to use DoorDash.
I ordered Little Italy pizza.
And was it good? Oh, little grandma pie?
They're so good. We actually got the Sicilian.
Ah, beautiful.
We did the Sicilian with pepperoni.
Chauncey like it?
Oh, we were thrilled. We had quite the eating adventure this weekend. Saturday for lunch, we went to Maison Pickle, which is the my friend Jacob, who owns Jacob's Pickles, his other restaurant, Maison Pickle. We had brunch there. It was just an absolute delight. Then for dinner that evening, after watching, attempting to watch the Wes Anderson movie, which I found to be horrifying.
I told you. Remember?
Wait, was that that wasn't the Wes Anderson movie.
I think, what's the name of the movie?
What was the movie you hated?
Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, no, it was not Licorice Pizza.
Okay.
The new Wes Anderson movie's not that. It was so stupid. It felt like a two-hour intro. And, like, I like Wes Anderson. But I was like, is this ever going to feel like an actual movie?
He's no Wes Parker.
After that, we went to a Japanese staple up here on the Upper West Side called Raku 82. Then Sunday, I went down and checked out Smashed, which is a smash burger place downtown. And then after the burger, we were all still hungry, and Natalie said, Chauncey, have you ever had Prince Street Pizza? And we split a piece of pizza. We each, like, split a piece of pizza and had a little bite there, too. It was an unbelievable outing. Really did damage.
I'm glad. You sound happy.
I'm satisfied. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
It used to be a manageable finger. Now it's the size of a foot.
And good evening to myself. A conduit for change. And good evening to Andrew.
I didn't have the energy for this one.
And good evening to Michael.
Fans should kiss my toes. I got them Buck Showalter. Yep, that says it all.
It's a lot you can take from that.
So Kenneth answered back, by the way.
All right, he sounds like a great guy.
Yeah, he said, where is it? I lost it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'm sorry.
All right, while you're looking for that.
Such a hack. Here it is. Struck a nerve, huh, Michael?
Yep.
Not a snowflake. Loyal listener, by the way. Just think you come back to Cohen, who cannot, has exploited a game plan that served the Yankees well for so long. I'm not coming back to Cohen, Kenny. I'm telling you what's driving the smaller market owners. They're afraid of Steve Cohen. I'm not coming back, so I don't care. I handed you your manager. Here he is, William Nathaniel Showalter III. Please go on, Peter.
I think he's missing the point. You're mentioning, but that doesn't mean you're saying anything bad.
Right. He should spend his money. That's his advantage. They don't have a great farm system right now because the previous administration traded some of their best players away for Robinson Cano. So the advantage you have over other team is you can outspend them. That's what you should do. That's what a smart person would do.
Yes.
And Steve Cohen's pretty smart. But that doesn't mean that the little market teams are going to like it. They can't do that. They can't buy those cars that Steve Cohen can buy.
It's silly. People are being silly.
They want to hear. They see things through, you know, light blue and orange glasses when it comes to me. That's fine. I am what I am.
Derek Jeter stepping down as CEO of the Miami Marlins.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Big surprise. After 4.5 years, not a great tenure, though people, like Jeff were saying earlier, they do appear to have a better farm system post-Jeter than pre.
Made a playoff during the shortened season.
Miami's record during Derek's time there,
not
218 and 327. He did have the 31-29 record, or they did, during that pandemic-shortened 2020 season. So, in a statement, Jeter said he was proud to have reformed every aspect of the franchise and reshaping its workforce while adding, quote, "That said, the vision for the future of the franchise is different than the one I signed up to lead." So whether that's about payroll, we will find out. But Derek Jeter no longer with the Marlins, and our very own Stephen A. was on First Take saying the Yankees need to find a role for Jeter.
As far as I'm concerned, this is great news because I got news for you. He never should have been there. I mean, outside of the weather and there's no state income taxes in Florida, he never should have been there. Now, if what really should happen is that the Yankees should be picking up the phone and asking what kind of relationship do we need to have with one another in an official capacity moving forward? Because Derek Jeter with anybody but the Yankees just seems sacrilegious to me. So as far as I'm concerned, get Derek Jeter back into the fold. The New York Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. As far as I'm concerned, that has a lot to do with Derek Jeter being gone. The man is one of the greatest ever. There is nothing to say about him. I mean, if you saw a pimple on his face, it should be news because that's how unblemished he's been throughout his illustrious career. He's El Capitan. He's Derek Jeter. And as far as I'm concerned, the New York Yankees should consider this good news. I don't know what Brian Cashman and the Steinbrenner sitcom twins or whatever could come up with, but they need to find a role, a significant role for Derek Jeter with the Yankees organization.
I think there was a drop in there of him going, "It's Derek Jeter." I think that may be a drop. How does Molly do it? I think my job's hard to deal with Ebro in the morning and Kay in the afternoon.
Ebro's.
I'm sorry. What was that, Mayor?
Kay is the easiest person you've ever dealt with.
Who?
Me, Kay.
You?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mayor. How do you pronounce his name again?
Ebro's.
Perfect. What do you think, Michael? Is Stephen A. just sort of having fun there, or is there a world in which you could see the Yankees picking up the phone and saying, let's get you officially back here in some capacity?
Okay. I mean, I guess it could be a capacity like what Reggie Jackson used to be, you know. But in terms of, like, running the team, no, I don't think that there's going to be a role for him. Brian Cashman and Derek don't have the greatest relationship. Not that it's bad. So, I mean, what exactly would be the role? It's easy to say these things from the outside looking in, but if you want to be...
What would it be?
There isn't one, unless Hal Steinbrenner creates a role for him. But in terms of, like, decision-making, you think Brian Cashman's going to step aside? So, I think if it's a role, it would be like what Reggie had, and Reggie has left, and he's now with the Houston Astros in that role. But we'll see. Does Derek come back for All-Timers Day? I'm not sure.
Derek Jeter. Let's move to the NBA and the aforementioned New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
Ebro's.
That's right. He says an exception for unvaccinated Kyrie Irving would send the wrong message. He's targeting March 7th to remove the city's vaccination requirement for restaurants, bars, theaters, and large event spaces. The lifting of the rule doesn't mean Irving can play at home games for the Nets because New York City requires anyone working in the city to be vaccinated, which is a separate regulation, and it's still in effect. So on Monday, he told CNBC, that's today to you and me, that while the latter rule makes no sense, these are the rules, and I have to follow those rules. If I don't, I'm going to open the door that is sending the wrong message to everyday employees.
To me, that's such a bad look.
I mean,
if you look throughout history, right?
Yeah.
Following rules absolutely will get you just totally into trouble.
And, you of all people saying this is shocking. You're the biggest rule follower in the biz.
I understand, but I do not follow rules that don't make sense. And this is senseless. And I'm going to tell you another thing that's dumb. So he's been having conversations with Joe Tsai, and Joe Tsai is obviously trying to convince him to let Kyrie play. But meanwhile, Adam Silver will not let the Nets take a fine. Why? So if Joe Tsai is working back channels and dealing with the mayor himself, why not just let the Nets play the damn fine? It's a dumb rule that doesn't make any sense anymore. And we've been saying this for a month before they decided to change the rule. If you're vaccinated and can still spread the virus, why is this rule in effect? It's dumb. D-U-M, dumb.
I mean, listen, I hear what you're saying, but I still don't see how the mayor changes that if that is the rule that is being expected to exist still. He can change it at some point. He can, I mean, or it can change, or the state rule can change, or the federal mandates can change when it comes to businesses. But I do understand why it would look really bad if for some reason they allow it to change, even though you're right, it's wild that you can go to the game and not be vaccinated, but not play in the game and not be vaccinated. Quite a time to be alive.
And another thing, you know, you're lifting the vaccination, but city workers, so 1,400 people lost their job? For what? Now, I don't agree with them for not getting the vaccination because you should care about your fellow man, but why? Why'd they get laid off? Why'd they lose their job if now we're opening up and you don't need the vaccination to go to other places? Why do you need it to work for? Why? Why must you need it to work?
Well, you needed it before. That was the plan.
Yeah, but you also needed it before to come into Madison Square Garden and Barclays Center. Now you don't. So my kids had to wear masks today. Tomorrow they don't have to wear masks anymore at school. So things change. We keep saying, well, we follow the science. Well, follow the science. Those 1,400 people now should get their jobs back.
Well, I hear you.
And I'm no supporter of people that decided not to get the vaccine because, again, your fellow man. I don't want to get into that because that polarizes people. I'm on the side of fair. I'm on the side of right. People shouldn't lose their job if now they can go. Those same people that lost their job working for New York City are now able to go to Madison Square Garden and sit there and watch the Knicks, or go to Barclays Center and sit there and watch the Nets, but they can't work. Does that sound right?
Listen, I agree with you in principle, but there is also a certain part of this that is, yes, some things aren't going to be fair and aren't going to be right because this whole thing is very messy. And that's just sort of the nature of it, too. You know, I don't think it's what you're saying in this specific case, but you can take out what you're saying and apply it to other parts of this. And there's a certain bit of, like, a lot of adults, I think, acted like little kids screaming, it's not fair.
Right.
You know? And, you know, like, you, mom and dad promised we could go to Chuck E. Cheese. Well, I know they did, but now there's a snowstorm, so we can't go to Chuck E. Cheese anymore. And I think there's been a lot of that when it comes to COVID. Oh, they said that we could do blank. Well, turns out now we can't do blank. I'm sorry. And we're going, oh, I can't. Listen, that's why I just decided to follow the rules and get the vaccine. But I do understand what you're saying, too, as to why that's unfair. It's a tough situation.
You know, it's amazing that over the weekend when you did all this eating, it sounds like you've gotten a real good grip on what it's like to have kids. Because those are some of the same things I hear constantly. It's not fair.
I know. A lot of it's not fair.
Oh, and you know what? It's fair, too. When they say it's not fair, it's fair.
Well, yeah, in their case, they're actually just lying.
Yeah, they're wrong. They don't know what fair is.
What did the kids eat this weekend?
Not much. A lot of crapola.
Do we want to hear Stephen also ranting on this subject, or do we want to move on?
I'm always good for some Stephen A-ing.
All right, let's hear the last thing on this. Let's hear Stephen going off on the Kyrie situation.
Kyrie Irving should have never been prevented or prohibited from playing a game at the Barclays Center. The city of New York's rule is bogus. It is ridiculous. And it has no business being in place. And Eric Adams, the mayor, who I like, by the way, needs to step up and handle his business in this regard, in this specific regard. We all in or we're out. The governor of New York needs to do the same. We in or we out. Very simple. How can a visitor come into the Barclays Center and be unvaccinated, but Kyrie Irving can't play?
That's the one that gets me. Out of all of them, that's the one that gets me. I just don't get it. So here's what the Nets should do, just for an optics issue, Peter. He can now sit in the stands at the Barclays Center. Sit him in the first row behind the net bench, where the juxtaposition of him not playing because of a rule that makes no sense is really, really hammered home for everybody watching the game. So he could sit right there, but he can't take the two steps out onto the court and play. Oh, okay, got it.
So here's a comment. Real Michael K speaking the truth. Many of these rules just don't make sense, and that's why people are frustrated. While Rosenberg Radio making Chuck E. Cheese analogies, LOL. But again, you didn't. Don't make fun of me because you didn't understand the analogy. That's not my fault. It's your fault for not understanding the analogy. But some of these things are not fair, and the rules don't make sense. But that is just the nature of the beast. We can't go to Chuck E. Cheese because there's a snowstorm. But you promised Chuck E. Cheese. I understand that. But now we're unsure of what's going on with the weather, so we're going to have to play it safe and stay home.
So you're doubling down on the Chuck E. Cheese.
I love the Chuck E. Cheese
reference.
Have you
ever been to a Chuck E. Cheese?
Of course I have. And you know why I love the Chuck E. Cheese reference?
Because you love Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, number one, that. Number two, it's bringing it back to pizza also. And that talented animal band.
Animal band?
Yeah. Chuck E. was in a band. And him and his friends would all play the music.
But Chucky's a rat, right?
He's a mouse.
Oh, sorry.
That's disgusting. I can't imagine how offended Chucky would be if he was listening right now.
It's not Chucky. It's Chuck E.
E.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. Chuck E. He'd probably be even
E,
more
period.
Angry.
Yeah.
Lakers not playing great.
No.
Routed.
TD Bus walked out.
Yeah, they were routed by the Pelicans, 123-95.
Holy crap.
Yeah. This was a rough night. It saw multiple players fighting with fans sitting in the seats behind the bench. LeBron arguing with players. Russell Westbrook arguing with players. Ramona Shelburne.
Arguing with players.
On how Laker fans view LeBron James.
I think he is seen in Los Angeles as sort of a mercenary. I mean, it's, you know, they appreciate him. They're thankful he came. I've been hosting radio in L.A. all week, and I myself have been shocked by some of the response from the callers, from the fans. Like, people heard his comments over the break at All-Star Weekend in Cleveland, and we're like, fine, if he doesn't want to be here, go. People in L.A. are used to Kareem, Magic, James Worthy, Kobe Bryant, guys who played their entire career for the Lakers, and LeBron, you know, had a couple of nice years, but there's this sort of, this is L.A., this is the Lakers. Like, if you don't see the value in it, go ahead and go.
I don't know if that's fair. I mean, they're not winning is not connected to his performance. He's been amazing. And also, from what I remember, Kobe threatened to leave the Lakers.
Yep.
That's okay.
Well,
this guy
could
have gone anywhere and came to the Lakers.
They didn't know at the time, though, did they, that Kobe was threatening to leave the Lakers? They didn't find out until later.
No, I think it was out in the ether, I think. I can't remember specifically, but, I mean, it was a thing.
I think it was known. I feel like I remember a game that Kobe almost kind of tanked, where he refused to shoot as a way of proving a point.
Yeah,
I think it was pretty known.
That's unfair about LeBron. Now, LeBron and Rich Paul met with Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, and everything's fine. He wants to stay here forever. The problem that they have is that they were so desperate to get him is that they gave him this unilateral power. I mean, he made the Russell Westbrook deal. I'm sorry, he did. Now he wants to get out of it? Now he wanted them to trade Russell Westbrook for John Wall? And they didn't want to do it because John Wall hasn't played all year, so the Lakers didn't know what they were getting back. And they figure, let's wait until the offseason when Russell Westbrook's $45 million contract is expiring, and it's a huge asset, and they could get people for it. They should not let LeBron play GM. And it's funny because Rob Pelinka is the guy that LeBron is usurping, And it was Rob Pelinka who played GM when he was Kobe's agent.
Yeah.
So it all comes around.
And one of the things that I'm seeing going around is that as phenomenal as LeBron is still at this stage in his career, he's no longer good enough to will a team to a winning record.
But this is not a great team. I mean, the reason they're as bad as they are, Peter, is there's no Anthony Davis.
For sure. But I would argue you've seen LeBron on teams similar to this, maybe even in Cleveland talent-wise, that he still at least got to the playoffs. This is a team that's struggling to make the playoffs.
Well, I mean, his numbers are better than when he was in Cleveland.
I know. That is the interesting piece. But
How amazing is that commercial for cryptocurrency where he's talking to young LeBron?
I love that.
How did they do that?
I know. I think it's an actual time machine.
See, that I didn't realize.
You should have.
Oh, what was that? Another boink.
Yeah, I hate to
hear
that.
Is it a boink or a bunk?
I think it's a bunk.
Gotcha.
DiPietro and Rothenberg call it a boop.
Oh, DiPietro and Rothenberg call it a boop.
Let me hear it again. Boom. Yeah, I hear that, but I'd rather not say what they say because they're dumb. I'm just kidding. They're very bright, both of them. Let's do a little Jim Harden watch, shall we?
Here goes the beer and a left-hand throwdown! 61!
Jim Harden watch.
Jim Harden seems like a math teacher. It's just some irony.
You say irony, I say stupidity.
Well, James Harden shows up and shows out. He posts a triple-double in his second game with the Sixers. Harden is the only player in NBA history with 25-plus points, 10-plus assists in each of his first two games with the team, and he's done it twice, the Nets in 2021 and the Sixers in 2022. The trio of Harden, Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey have combined for 176 points in their first two games together. Per Elias, that's the Sports Bureau to you and me, that's the only trio with more points in their first two games together. The only other trio with more points in their first two games together in NBA history is Wilt Chamberlain, Paul Arizin, and York Lloris with 193 in 1961.
I believe that's Arizin.
I'm not sure. I'll tell you one thing. Either way, I guarantee you Wilt Chamberlain scored about 130 of those 193. So pretty impressive stuff from Jim Harden to get things started. Let's hear from Kendrick Perkins on First Take saying just how good this Embiid-Harden combo could be.
I said that they actually could have a possibility of being on the verge of being the next Kobe and Shaq. That was the wrong comparison. I'm looking at Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar right now. I mean, just because of James Harden facilitating, it's enough that people have to deal with Joel Embiid. By the way, who shot 30-plus free throws last night in the game, who fouled almost every big out of the game. When you put those two together, and when it comes to late-game situations, pick and rolls, clearing out a side, going two-man game, I don't know who in the hell could stop those two.
How's it possible, Peter? Let me throw this out into the universe, okay? You hear Kendrick, you know, Chris Russo, Michael Irvin. How's it possible I don't get a call to do First Take? One day. I'd love to debate Stephen A.
Okay.
How's that not possible?
Do you really want to do it?
Of course. I'm the host of K-Rod.
Well, maybe it'll happen. I mean, listen, don't get me started. Don't get me started.
I just don't know if the mothership really appreciates me.
Really?
They just what I bring to the party.
They gave you a watch-along for baseball.
I get it. Yeah, it's a baby step. I mean, they've got an unbelievable talent here. Use it.
All right, you know what? We have a lot more to get to, including some pretty big NFL news. Let's continue ENN on the other side, shall
we?
Oh,
I love when you do this, yeah.
And it's brought to you tonight by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker or the Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly. More ENN next, right here on the K Show on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to ENN as we continue on. Now, before the break, Michael, remember how we were saying that the Lakers are an interesting spot because LeBron is playing great ball, but they're in danger of missing the playoffs.
Right.
And I said, it doesn't make sense because there were less talented teams LeBron's had. Andrew, during the break, told me specifically about one of those teams. And Michael, and I'm not saying this to suggest that LeBron is a worse player now, but simply that it's hard to figure out why they would be so bad now when you hear about this team. Andrew, what did the 08-09 Cavs do?
This team, not only did he take them to the playoffs, they won 66 games, which purely by win percentage makes them a top 15 team in the history of the NBA. They had him. Then their second leading scorer at a little over 17 a night was Mo Williams.
There you go.
Followed by Zydrunas Ilgauskas at 13 a game.
The great Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
And then Delonte West at just under 12 a night. That team won 66 games. I don't know how you explain it.
Isn't that crazy, Michael?
Well, I mean, they were players that meshed nicely with him, but you take a look at the players on the Lakers right now, you're not going to have many, you know, casual basketball fans know who the heck they are.
Oh, no, they're far from loaded. They're far from loaded, but are they any worse than that team?
No, that team played in the East, which
true.
Wasn't great back then.
True. But I mean,
the East now, I think, is better than the West, Andrew. Do you agree?
The East right now.
Better than the West right now.
Yes, I would agree.
Remember,
with that.
When, like, they were going to change the rules and everything, and I said, right. No, just give it time. It's cyclical, and the East is better than the West.
Yeah, the East is better now. That's the thing. And I mean, listen, four of their starting five are LeBron, Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, and Russell Westbrook.
Dwight Howard's shot. Trevor Ariza's shot. Westbrook just doesn't fit.
Okay, they could be shot and not a fit, Michael. But still, relative to what Andrew just mentioned. It's the same. We're talking in the same category.
Let me tell you what. Ilgauskas is not walking through that door, baby.
No, you're right about that. He's not walking through. But they won 66 games. This Lakers team's 27-33. Their fans are literally talking trash to them.
So what year was that? 18? 2008? So yeah. It was 14 years ago. He was 24.
He was a young man. Stats aren't much different, but he's a different guy.
It was closer to the St. Mary's LeBron than this one.
Great point. Great, great point by you.
Thank you.
Well, some NFL notes. All right. Kyler Murray's agent says Kyler wants to stay with the Cardinals. This is an interesting change after we saw the weird social media scrubbing a couple of weeks ago. But a lengthy statement came out from Murray's agent saying that he wants to remain with the team long term. And that they recently sent a contract proposal to the team. The proposal includes financial protection for Murray and is in line with the current QB market, quote, that compares his results alongside relative comps.
I thought that, I don't know if you actually saw the release, Peter.
I did not.
The hubris on the agent, the Eric Burkhart, no relation to Kevin. It's just amazing to me. First of all, the font on the release was ridiculous. Second of all, he's played 3 years of a 5-year deal. And they want the big money now coming off his playoff game where he was a joke, an embarrassment. This essentially was a leverage pull. He doesn't have leverage the way he played in that final game. And if he's as off-putting to his teammates, all they have to do is, well, you got 2 more years left in your contract, buddy. Let's play that out and see how it rolls. And they kept quoting, he took over a 3-win team. He's not as good as he was at the beginning. This was a lot of people commenting. It's just a play to get more money, which I understand. That's what an agent's there for. But, I mean, feel of the room, man.
I'm looking at the statement now. First of all, you're right. It's an insane font choice. That worries me right away. If Dipperstein were to write an email or a statement with this font, I fire him on the spot. I go, why don't you just keep it Times New Roman, pal? Do I look like a new courier guy to you? Do I seem Helvetica? Please, for God's sake.
Dipperstein, the hell with him.
This is wild. And it's such an aggressive, nozzly thing with the picture of Kyler and his logo at the bottom.
Yeah, why does he have a logo after 3 years? I've been doing this show 20 years. I don't have a logo.
I know. Let me tell you what the logo will get you. RG3 had a great logo, okay? I love the guy. He's doing great work on ESPN. He's going to have a great broadcasting career. But the logo didn't do anything except turn people off. You know who else had a logo? Simba. Dwayne Haskins in Washington. Logo. Chill on the logo.
TB12 has a logo that works.
Yeah, eventually, we never even heard of TB12 until Tom Brady had 4 Super Bowl wins.
Right.
Tiger Woods
has a logo, but it took like 8 Masters championships.
Yeah, Tiger's logo literally came in, 2006? He'd completely crushed everything.
That one statement to me, I don't know. I mean, sometimes statements talk to me. That one screamed nozzle. Either the agent or Murray. And you can't say it's the agent because the agent works for the player, and the player signed off on this ridiculousness.
Well, no, but what it can show is that the agent is a nozzle and the player doesn't have enough couth or is not savvy enough to tell that, hey, my agent may be my agent, but this is not good.
And also, why is he screaming at us, Peter? It's all caps. Why are you screaming?
It is all caps.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's wacky. Also, Dan Orlovsky on GetUp says Kyler Murray hasn't shown significant
growth. Dan Orlovsky's on GetUp, too. Oh, he's on GetUp.
Yeah. Okay.
He's done some First Take, too, I think.
Yeah.
Ebros.
Let's hear from Dan talking about Kyler.
My question to Kyler and his representatives, and I think Kyler's a fantastic player, okay, is he that much better than when he came into the NFL 3 years ago? Does he show that meteoric improvement? I want everyone to understand where he is in comparison to when he came in the NFL. His rookie year in 2019, he threw for 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,700 yards. His second year, 2020, he threw for 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,900 yards. This past season, his third in the NFL, he threw for 24 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 3,700 yards. There's not much improvement when it comes to performance for Kyler Murray over the past 3 years.
I want to bring a band along with me like Dan. When he gets to the serious stuff, it gets to a crescendo. Also, take a look at his performance in the playoff game.
Oh, I saw it. I saw it.
That one pass out of the end zone, please. You want a contract off that? All caps and a logo?
That was butt fumble adjacent. It was actually worse.
It was worse.
It was game ending in a lot of ways. It was a brutal play.
You had the Cardinals in that game, I believe.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Was it early in the playoffs? You know me. I was awful until it mattered. And then I really stepped up and saved myself, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I think that's why Don got sick.
I by the way, it's interesting because Don got really mad at me. And then days later, he's in the hospital. I sort of feel like I'm to blame. 5 NFL teams will play 2022 international games in 3 countries. How can it be 5 NFL teams? I'm confused.
Well, one's hosting a couple of times.
They haven't
Probably
announced
the Jaguars.
They haven't announced their opponents yet.
Okay. 5 NFL teams will play. Okay. Let's see. The Packers' first international trip. The Buccaneers playing their first ever football game in Germany.
Doesn't have the same oomph without TB12 and without Aaron Rodgers for the Pack. Please go on.
I didn't have the energy for this one.
The Arizona Cardinals will play in the NFL's first game in Mexico since 2019.
Logo goes international. Love it.
The Packers will be joined by the Jacksonville Jaguars and New Orleans Saints.
Of course they will.
In playing games in the UK.
Wow.
So you'll have a Packers game, a Jags game, a Saints game, all in the UK. And then you'll have a Bucks game in Germany. You know what they say about a Bucks game in Germany?
No, what do they say?
Throw the rules out.
Yeah.
Throw the records out. Get Hasselhoff out. That's they say all that stuff.
He's going to sing the national anthem.
Coach Patrick Ewing says he hopes to return to Georgetown after
hope is the operative word there.
After his Hoyas lost their 18th straight. They lost 86-77 to 21-ranked UConn.
That's hard to lose 18 straight. There's some bad teams in there.
They're now 6-22 overall.
But they're going to win the Big East tournament and go to the NCAA, just like last year.
Well, I got to tell you, that really puts some perspective. Like, I feel like the Maryland season, keep in mind, the Maryland season's been a disaster, right? Coach resigned. They had to bring in another coach. It's been a mess. And yesterday we beat a ranked Ohio State team to go, and they're now 14-15. And I consider that to be a pretty abysmal year. 6-22 for a big program. Oh,
yeah,
my Lord.
Not good.
It's not what you want. All right, and now before we wrap in, just a couple of quick.
You got to do it fast. We have the big fella coming up.
A couple of sports issues related to the war in Ukraine. Several WNBA players competing in Russia are making plans to leave, according to ESPN, to try to go to play for other teams in Europe as a safety precaution following the invasion of Ukraine. We already talked about Alexander Usyk and the Klitschko brothers taking up arms to fight in Ukraine. Add another amazing fighter, Vasily Lomachenko, the number 8 pound-for-pound fighter in the world. He will also be taking up arms, as will Bellator champion Yaroslav Amosov. He said he's going to remain in the Ukraine to defend his country. And FIFA has banned Russia from competing at the World Cup. Russian teams have been suspended from international soccer after the invasion. Andrew, did this come as any surprise to you, or is this something you expected?
Well, they were left with almost no choice because Russia is in a 4-team playoff to go on. The winner of this little kind of 4-team mini bracket will go on to the World Cup. And the 3 other teams in that group said, we refuse to play them. So FIFA was kind of left with the choice of, okay, do we allow Russia a free route into the World Cup? Or do we listen to what these teams are saying and decide to pull Russia out of that? So they kind of had no choice, and I think in the end they got to the right decision.
That will do it for ENN. Sorry, Michael, on this Monday, February 28th.
Also, I think NHL teams are requesting added security for their Russian players who are getting death threats on DM. Mm. Yeah, the world's not in a great place right now, but Chris Carlin is. I'm going to lead it this way before we go to break. I really, really hurt Chris Carlin badly this weekend.
Okay.
I'll tell you what it is when we get back, and he can explain how hurt he was right here on Yes in 98.7 ESPN. And Chucky's a rat, right?
He's a mouse.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.